Okay, let's try and unpack this. Try to like wrap your head around mapping everything, every single connection in something smaller than a grain of sand.
Yeah.
It sounds, well, almost impossible, doesn't it?
It really did seem that way. Yet a huge international team, over 150 scientists, they actually did it.
Right. So welcome everyone to the Deep Dive. Today we are plunging into something genuinely groundbreaking in neuroscience.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the most detailed 3D map ever made of a piece of a mammalian brain.
And what just jumps out immediately is the sheer density, the amount of information they captured.
Right.
So you take this tiny section of a mouse's visual cortex, like you said, smaller than a grain of sand, and inside that, over 200,000 nerve cells.
200,000.
Uh-huh. And around 523 million synapses. You know, the connection point.
Half a billion connections.
Pretty much. And get this, about 4 kilometers, that's like 2.5 miles, of axons. The wiring.
4 kilometers.
Oh, yeah.
Of wiring. And something you could, I don't know, lose down the back of the sofa.
Exactly. That complexity packed so tightly. That's the key insight right there.
Wow. Okay. So our mission then for this deep dive is to figure out what this actually means.
Right.
Not just, you know, for the scientists in white coats, but for you listening right now.
Yeah, the real world connection.
We want to explore how this super detailed picture of the brain's structure validates and maybe even helps shape better ways to learn and train.
And we'll even touch on some of the newer ideas, things like smart training AI, STAI.
So first things first, how on earth did they even do this?
Yeah, good question. It definitely wasn't a solo effort. This was the Micron S project. Huge collaboration.
Microns, okay.
Over 150 researchers, 22 different institutions all working together.
That's massive.
And it's brand new stuff, just published in Nature, April 9th, 2025. So really cutting edge.
And the tech involved. I mean, it sounds like something out of a movie.
It kind of does, yeah. You've got advanced electron microscopy, slicing the brain tissue into 25,000 ultra-thin layers.
25,000 layers. The precision is just hard to fathom.
It is. Then they use laser-powered imaging to capture all the tiny details, all those connections.
Okay.
But here's maybe the most critical part. The role of artificial intelligence, AI.
Ah, okay. So AI was key.
Absolutely essential. Think about it. You have 25,000 flat images.
Right.
The AI algorithms took those and basically rebuilt the whole 3D network.
So the AI pieced it all together.
Exactly. It traced the path of every single neuron. It even color-coded different types of connections so the scientists could actually make sense of it all.
That must have been crucial with that amount of complexity.
Oh, completely. And the data volume, just staggering. 1.6 petabytes.
1.6 petabytes. What does that even mean in real terms?
Okay, try this. It's like recording 22 years of continuous HD video.
22 years.
Yeah.
For that tiny speck.
Yep. It really hammers home how incredibly complex the brain is, even this tiny piece, and how much we still have to learn.
Wow, 22 years of video. That just, it completely recalibrates your sense of scale, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does. Yeah. This feels like, well, people are calling it a watershed moment, a real leap.
Yeah.
And the comparison that keeps coming up is the Human Genome Project.
Ah, okay. How so?
Well, the Genome Project gave us that foundational map, right? The sort of blueprint for our biology.
Yeah, the code of life, basically.
Exactly. And this brain map, it's poised to be something similar for neuroscience, a foundational resource for understanding the brain's wiring, its fundamental hardware.
A hardware blueprint. I like that. Okay, so they built this incredible map. What are the big discoveries? What have they actually learned from it so far that's got neuroscientists excited?
Well, one really interesting finding is about inhibitory neurons.
Okay, what about them?
The old thinking was kind of that they just broadly dampen down activity nearby, like a general suppressor.
Sort of like putting a blanket over things?
Kind of, yeah. But this map shows it's much more sophisticated. They actually form very selective circuits. They target specific neurons or specific groups.
Oh, wow. So it's not just hitting the brakes generally. It's more like targeted braking.
Exactly. It suggests brain regulation is much more refined, a system of really precise controls, not just a blunt instrument.
That's fascinating. More nuanced than we thought.
Definitely. And beyond that, the maps helped identify totally new types of cells.
The new cell types.
Yeah. And organizational principles we didn't know about within these circuits. We're getting a much, much more granular picture of how these networks are built and how they work.
So a finer level of detail about the structure itself.
Which could, down the line, help us figure out things like why some people might have trouble filtering out distractions when they're trying to learn, for example.
Interesting connection. Okay, so that's understanding normal function better.
Yeah.
What about when things go wrong? What are the implications for neurological or psychiatric disorders?
This is a huge potential area because this map gives us such a detailed baseline of healthy, typical brain wiring.
Right, a reference point.
Exactly. Researchers can now start comparing this reference map to the wiring in brains affected by conditions like, say, autism, schizophrenia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's.
So you could actually see the differences in the connections at that fundamental level.
That's the hope. By comparing healthy and affected brains microscopically, we might be able to pinpoint the specific circuit abnormalities that contribute to these diseases.
Which could lead to?
Hopefully, to developing new treatments that are much more targeted to the actual underlying problem in the wiring, more effective therapies in the long run.
Okay, this is all clearly massive for neuroscience. But let's pivot back to our listener, to you listening.
Right.
What's the direct link here between this incredibly detailed map and something like personalized learning? Why should someone thinking about their own learning or maybe training in their company really care about this?
Okay, this is where it gets really relevant for everyone. The map, by showing this just astonishing complexity and detail, even in that tiny speck, it basically provides powerful biological proof for an idea we've kind of known intuitively. No two brains are wired exactly the same.
Right. We all feel different, learn differently.
Exactly. And this shows why, at the structural level, remember those numbers, 200,000 plus cells, over 500 million synapses, 4 kilometers of wiring.
In that grain of sand space.
Yeah. All uniquely configured in each individual. It's almost profound, isn't it? This microscopic view confirming that feeling we have about uniqueness.
It is staggering. That level of variation packs so densely.
And that is the absolute key takeaway for you. It makes it crystal clear why one size fits all, learning just, well, it can only ever be so effective, right?
Because it ignores the underlying hardware differences.
Precisely. Your brain's unique wiring, shaped by your genes, your experiences, everything that dictates how you best take in and process information.
So when we talk about personalized learning, it's not just a nice idea or a trend. It's actually reflecting biological reality. This map underlines that.
Exactly that. This research offers really strong biological justification for why we need personalized approaches. You mentioned systems like smart training AI, STA.
Yeah.
Well, they operate on that very principle that learning needs to adapt to the individual. STA, for instance, uses AI to figure out someone's learning style and preferences and then tailors the content.
Okay.
This brain map essentially provides the foundational biological, yes, this makes sense, for that whole approach.
It's like the map is shouting, look how different everything is, even here. Of course people learn different.
You got it. It strongly reinforces why we need to move away from those uniform methods, the standard lecture for everyone, the same textbook for every single student.
Yeah, the old model.
And move towards strategies that genuinely cater to different learning styles, different paces, different ways of thinking.
Okay, so given these insights, how can we actually use this? People listening, educators, trainers, maybe just someone trying to learn something new. What are the practical takeaways? How can this make learning better in the real world?
Okay. Application number one, and maybe the most important, validate and really implement personalized learning.
Go all in on it.
Yes. The biological case is just stronger than ever. We need to ditch that outdated idea of standardized learning and fully embrace that everyone's brain takes its own unique path.
Makes total sense.
What else? Well, this detailed map can also help develop more effective learning strategies overall.
How so?
By giving us such an intricate blueprint of how knowledge is, you know, structured and processed at the circuit level, educators can start tweaking their methods to align better with how the brain actually works.
So designing teaching with the brain's architecture in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which could lead to better engagement, better long-term retention, making learning stick.
Okay, better strategies. What's next?
Remember how the research also involved watching neural activity?
Yeah, in response to stimuli.
That really underscores the benefit of creating multi-sensory learning environments.
Engaging more senses.
Right. Visual, auditory, maybe hands-on, kinesthetic. Using multiple channels seems to align better with how the brain naturally pulls information together. It could lead to deeper understanding, stronger memories.
So it's not just about catering to a preferred style, but actually leveraging how the brain integrates information for better results.
Precisely. And thinking about professional development, inform the design of training programs.
Okay, like corporate training.
Yeah, or any skill acquisition. Understanding how neural circuits respond to different practice schedules, like spaced repetition versus cramming.
The classic cramming versus spacing debate.
Right. These insights can help design upskilling strategies that are just more efficient and more effective, getting the timing and method right based on the neuroscience.
So not just what you learn, but how and when you practice it matters neurologically.
Absolutely. And another really important implication is for advancing neuro-inclusive learning environments.
Neuro-inclusive, meaning?
Meaning creating learning settings that work well for people with diverse neurological profiles. As research builds on this map, maybe identifying neural patterns linked to different learning styles or challenges.
Like dyslexia or ADHD.
Potentially, yes. It could lead to more targeted support, more targeted interventions, making learning more equitable for everyone.
That feels incredibly significant.
Yeah.
Really hopeful.
It is. And we can't forget technology's role here, the AI that was so crucial for making this map.
Yeah.
That same kind of AI can inspire smarter educational technologies.
Yeah, the virtuous cycle again.
Exactly. AI helps us understand the brain, and that understanding helps us build better AI learning tools. Platforms that adapt in real time to how a specific learner's brain is responding, like the goal of SESI AI.
Using AI to understand the brain, to build AI that helps the brain learn better. Cool.
Yeah, you got it. And one last practical point. Focus on reducing cognitive load.
Cognitive load, meaning like not overwhelming the learner.
Exactly. This map screams complexity, right? It reminds us the brain is intricate. Throwing too much information at it or presenting it badly just hinders learning.
So personalized approaches can help manage that overload.
Yes. By tailoring the pace and presentation to the individual, we can make learning less taxing and ultimately more successful. Being mindful of the brain's limits, eventually.
Yeah, fantastic. Lots of practical applications there. Now, who really benefits from knowing all this? Thinking about our listener, the learner, who might be an employee, a manager, a student, a trainer, how does this research help different people?
Well, for folks in HR or learning and development, this is solid gold. It gives them strong scientific backing to argue for and invest in personalized learning solutions.
But it validates that investment.
It moves it away from nice to have to biologically necessary for optimal results. It justifies shifting away from those old one-size-fits-all training days.
Gives them the ammo to push for change.
Exactly. Then for training companies or universities or anyone selling education, well, adopting approaches like SDI or developing their own scientifically informed personalized methods, that's a real competitive edge.
Because they can claim better scientifically validated outcomes.
Precisely. They're not just delivering content. They're offering truly effective neuro-informed learning.
Makes sense. And what about the individual teachers or trainers, the ones actually doing the teaching?
For them, this research is empowering. It gives them the evidence and the rationale to advocate for more personalized strategies in their own practice.
Whether it's a classroom or a workshop.
Right. It backs up the idea that tailoring the experience improves memory, reduces that cognitive overload we talked about, and boosts motivation. It validates their efforts to meet individual needs.
So really, no matter your role in the learning ecosystem, designer, deliverer, or just the learner yourself, understanding this principle of brain individuality is crucial.
Absolutely fundamental.
Okay, so wrapping this up, this incredibly detailed map, this 3D picture of a tiny brain piece, it's way more than just a cool science project, isn't it?
Oh, much more. It feels like a genuine breakthrough. It gives us that hard biological evidence for something we sort of knew. Every brain is unique.
And therefore, learning has to be unique, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It powerfully validates why adaptive learning tech makes sense, why personalized approaches are the way forward, and why those old standardized methods are, well, outdated.
It really pushes us towards embracing personalization as the standard.
That's the trajectory, yeah.
It really makes you stop and think, though. If that much complexity, that much intricate organization is packed into something smaller than a grain of sand.
Yeah.
Just imagine the entire human brain, the sheer scale of it. It raises so many questions, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Which brings us to maybe a final thought for everyone listening to ponder.
Okay.
If we're getting this deep understanding of the brain's unique, intricate wiring, how might that revolutionize not just learning and education, but maybe all the systems and technologies that interact with our minds.
Beyond education.
Yeah. Think about user interface design, how we interact with computers, mental health therapies, maybe even art and creativity. What other fields could be fundamentally changed by having this level of biological insight into what makes each of us, well, individual?
Wow. It's a big question. Where else could this insight take us?
It's definitely an exciting time to be exploring the brain's inner workings. Lots to think about.